He taught as one with authority. Then there was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the spirit does come out, and the people are impressed, asking, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? What is this indeed? Who is this?" I wonder what Marcus Borg would say about the Jesus we meet here. On January 21st, just past, Marcus Borg died, but he will live on through his many books, his many students, and his various modes of teaching in so many different venues, which touched many over the years. Recently, our adult education class that starts meeting at 8:45 each Sunday finished a DVD of Borg and his colleague in the Jesus Seminar, Dominic Crossan, in which they taught about Jesus, his time, and how his message was received in that context long ago. I remember my excitement when I was in the first year of seminary in 1997, when I learned that Marcus Borg would be coming to campus to give a talk. And as I thought about this, it actually might have been to participate in a debate of sorts with one of our seminary professors. Some of you might have been there for that. I was excited to see him in person because his book, Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, was an important contribution to my Christian education before seminary and enabled me, as it has for so many, to be able to relate to Jesus in a new and fresh way. Growing up, I, like many others, heard about Jesus primarily from the fundamentalist preachers on TV and the street corners, and such an understanding as they gave kept me out of church for a long time. Marcus Borg was part of what was known and still is as the Jesus Seminar, which formed in 1985, a group of scholars who met to learn as much as they could about the historical Jesus, the Jesus of history, and to share their findings with others. They did some things that really upset some people, you might remember, such as voting on what Jesus actually said versus what the Bible presents. If you want to upset some people, that's a pretty good way to do it. But they really wanted to get to the heart of it, to some of those historic truths that they were so seeking. It upset some, but for many of us and for so many others, Borg and his colleagues, they opened up the Gospels. And what I especially loved about Marcus Borg were qualities that I did not see as much in others associated with the Jesus Seminar. And those qualities were humility in the face of the mystery of God and love for God and a deep spirituality that exuded faith and peace. He was, of course, a fabulous writer and a brilliant man, such a scholar, but also such a kind and personable human being. You felt like you could really know him. This weekend, I reread parts of his book, Speaking Christian, Why Christian Words Have Lost Their Meaning and Power and How They Can Be Restored. This is a great book for anyone here who wants to grow this church and to know what we are dealing with, the lack of understanding about so many words in the Bible itself and words that we use without much thought in our services. The clarity of Borg's writing can be a huge help. And he also tells a story in these introductory chapters of when he went to a new university to teach, and he asked the students what they knew about, oh, he actually said that you can't really know Christianity until you know that it's grounded in Judaism. And one of the students lifted up his hand and said, "What's Judaism?" And Borg began to realize the times had changed and he had a lot to do. Consider our reading from Mark's gospel today as we think about Borg and his perspective. We hear about the authority of Jesus in the reading, and we see that Jesus is dealing with what is evil. Authority is a word that, when paired with Jesus, might bring to mind the sort of framework of understanding that Borg refers to in his book, Speaking Christian. He calls this the heaven and hell framework. Borg defines a framework itself as a large interpretive context that shapes the meaning of words. This is a way of thinking, this heaven and hell framework, taught to many growing up, and it's still taught and emphasized in some churches, and has to do with the primary reason for being a Christian is to avoid hell by believing in Jesus, and that God has the authority to send us to hell and is watching us if somehow we don't get all that right. Borg states that when he thinks back to when he was 12 years old, if he had been asked what is Christianity about or why should people be Christian, he would have said, he tells us, Jesus died for our sins so that we can be forgiven and go to heaven if we believe in him. Borg states that the heaven and hell framework has four central elements: the afterlife, sin and forgiveness, Jesus dying for our sins, and believing. And within that, there are many other words that he looks at and considers as he's trying to think about what this framework has done to our way of thinking about our faith. I wish I could give you all the ways that Borg challenges this framework by examining the words most associated with it. But to give one that he looks at, it is the word redeemer. Redeem, redemption. I choose this one because last week someone asked me what I meant in saying that God is the redeemer of history. I did this in Sunday's blessing last week. In the blessing, I was using that word in part as a way to identify the second person of the Trinity, as we phrase it, as in Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the second person being the Son, but also to state something about the nature of God's love for us. Borg states that these words, redeemer, redeem, now for many, refer to Jesus as the redeemer who redeems us from our sins and brings about our redemption. But Borg goes on to say, in the Bible, these words are not about being saved from sin, but about being set free from slavery. And in using that word as part of the blessing last Sunday, I intended to give the sense of God who sets us free from all the negative aspects of the past, our past and the past of the world, because we can be enslaved by that, programmed by it, held down and backed by it. But God, and I would say Jesus, is all about setting us free and moving us into a grace-filled future through our deepening relationship with God, which enables us to bring about justice and freedom and healing in our world today. Some of this is a little subtle, the way we look at these words, but it's so important. And I advise, or perhaps suggest, that you might want to read this book. To share one more morsel from Borg on this matter, he states, "The point is that the common heaven and hell framework is like a black hole that sucks the meaning of Christian language into it, changing and distorting it." That's some strong stuff, and I agree. So to go back to the authority of Jesus as presented to us in today's reading, how do we see that authority expressed here? And what does it mean for us? What does the authority of Jesus have to offer us? How can we even know Jesus outside of this heaven and hell framework? Can we? I believe that we can. Mark is presenting Jesus as the one who has the power to transform and heal. And this new authority that they see in Jesus, it's so different It's not the sort of authority that demands our devotion, but rather engenders devotion. This is the authority of one who sets us free. And as we come to learn more about Jesus, we learn that it is through his vulnerability that Jesus has authority, in his giving of himself, and not as demanded by an angry Father God because of our sins, but because God loves us so much, right? You just turn the crystal a little bit, turn the lens a little bit, and it looks totally different. This new teaching that Jesus brings is that, quote, all things demonic are on their way out. No oppressive boundary will stand. Readers of Mark are invited to follow Jesus into a whole new world. So notes another scholar, Charles, in his commentary in Feasting on the Word, Gary Charles. Marcus Borg has and would encourage us to consider this account beyond literalism and take the approach that he terms historical metaphorical. Historical means setting biblical and Christian language in their ancient historical context. What did these words mean in and for the ancient communities that used them? And Borg goes on to say, the question is no longer simply, what does the Bible say, as if that would settle everything. Rather, the question becomes, given what their words meant for them then, what might they mean for us now? And what does Borg mean by metaphorical? He says, according to a metaphorical interpretation, the Exodus, for example, is about the human condition as marked by bondage to the lords who rule this world, and about God's passion that we be liberated from bondage and embark on a journey that leads to the promised land. The same could be said for our account in Mark's Gospel today. This story shows us what following Jesus can mean in our lives and for our lives. I've often thought and preached that when we're celebrating the Eucharist, as we are now, but at the table, during the words concerning the wine, this is just to give an example of how we might turn the lens a little bit. The words that Andy will say today, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. That those words contain even more than what the word sins bring to mind. This is what Marcus Borg is getting at. We might also add or think in our minds, and what does that mean for us? Shed for you and for many, perhaps for the healing of the world, for the healing of our lives, for creating wholeness among us and our communities. We remember and we give thanks for Marcus Borg, who, in the words of our presiding bishop, Catherine Jefford Shorey, said that through Borg's teaching and writing, he led countless numbers of people into deeper and more authentic relationship with the Holy One. His gifts of insight, profound faith, and the ability to show others the path will be greatly missed. In his last book, Borg wrote, imagine that Christianity is about loving God. Imagine that it is not about the self or its concerns. Our relationship with the Bible and our faith should expand our minds and our hearts and lift our spirits so as to be about God's work in the world, knowing and loving God, God who is with us, the God Jesus showed us, who has the power to overcome all that possesses or oppresses us, so that rather than being limited, we can have the life for which God created us and have it abundantly. Amen.